Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow.
Welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, I think that was a record in terms of speed for me delivering the intro. What do you reckon?
Well, you've extended it now by talking about how quick you are, so you've absolutely pooed on your chips, to be quite frank. Oh, dearie me. Chrissy Broad. I'm good. It's been a great week. I'm off on my holidays next week, so I'm very much looking forward to not doing anything for a week or two.
Holiday? Where are you going?
Holiday, mate. Off to the... not the Canary Islands. What are the Canary Islands?
Tenerife, Lanzarote.
I think I'm going to Tenerife.
You're going...
I think I'm going to Tenerife.
You don't even know where you're going on your holiday. You are the
1%. All we need to know is it an amber country? Is it a red country? Is it a green country? Because there are so many bloody hoops you got to leap through for vaccinated people still. So that might change in the near future. So I've got to get a test while I'm out there. Test when I get home. Actually, it's not too bad. It sounds very manageable, to be quite frank.
I mean, yeah, I'm still like on the fence about coming home because of all the 400 tests and all the sort of just the ambiguity around what happens when I come back. And that's why I'm watching carefully to see what happens to Connor Seadog VA, who is coming back from the UK, I think, next week. And it's going to be interesting to see what he has to go through in Japan. Like, I think in Japan at the moment, you have to sort of stay in a hotel for 6 days, sort of a quarantine. Yes. It could be kind of fun. Could be a good vlog, right? Vlog YouTube potential.
I'm choosing a love hotel. I want to stay in a love hotel. I want to do my quarantine in a stinking love hotel.
You'd love it. You'd absolutely love it. You'd cash in on that. I've just had a big old oyakudon for dinner. Do you know what oyakudon is?
I think it's probably got something to do with rice, isn't it?
Well, don is rice, yeah. But what about the first bit, the hard bit? Oyaku. What? Oyakodon.
Oyaku. Oh, eel? I don't know.
Oyaku.
Beef? Got to be beef, isn't it? Yakiniku.
All right. It's close, but then it's not. It's not close. Oya means parent. Ko means child. Parent and child. Don, rice bowl.
That did not made it any easier for me. That's a hint, is it? It's not made any easier for me. You went
parent
for a kid's meal.
Child.
What does that mean? Parent and child.
Parent and child.
Father and son. It's a... I don't know.
What came first, Pete? What came first?
Oh, chicken and egg. Oh, so it's chicken and egg.
Chicken and egg. Yes.
Hilarious. That's adorable.
It's pretty sinister, isn't it?
That is pretty sinister. Yeah, you don't want to think about that, but that's hilarious. So it's chicken and egg and rice.
Correct. It is. Yeah, let's get some chicken, marinate it in a bit of soy sauce, kind of a sweet sort of sauce on it, and then it's cooked in egg and stuffed on top of a bowl of rice. It's really nice. You've got a nice sort of the saltiness of the chicken and the sweetness of the sauce and the egg. Yeah, it's a really nice, filling, warm dish. And it's one of my favourite Japanese dishes, and not a lot of people know about it.
Stunning. Well, now everyone knows about it because it's popular. Sorry, this podcast is very popular rather than this podcast is very popular podcast.
Well, oyakudon, you can do it at home, right? But I suppose the only difficult bit is you would need like soy sauce, and I think it's got like mirin and lots of different ingredients in. But
we've got mirin in the house, mate. We've got mirin in the house. If you've got any, you've got a love for Japan, a lot of times people for Christmas will buy you a little hamper with Japanese ingredients. So I've got loads of seaweed, loads of mirin, and a surprising amount of miso paste.
Have you ever cooked a Japanese recipe before? I don't know much about your cooking exploits. I don't think you've ever really revealed that you can cook.
How
I know I
am.
Certainly can't.
No. Yeah. I've made okonomiyaki a few times. That's pretty simple. Yeah, with the old, shaved fish and all that business. Yeah. It's an easy dish, I guess, but it's hard to sort of get it right in our pans. You've really got to have like a proper like plate to cook that sort of thing, haven't you?
Do you know what style of okonomiyaki it was? Was it Osaka
it was
or Hiroshima?
Very much
the Donaldson
Osaka.
Style.
It was the Donaldson
Hartley
style.
Hartlepool variation.
It's a bit squid.
Osaka.
Lovely. Beautiful. Beautiful. I made this, I made a pad thai, but I didn't have any chicken, didn't have any prawns. So I just found some octopus in a tin. It was like covered in. It was octopus or squid. No, it's squid actually. Squid. You know, like they put the ink into the can. So it's this black, pitch black, squid in a pad thai. It looked disgusting, but it tastes delicious. I have to say, tastes lovely.
That sounds absolutely horrific.
Horrific.
That does not sound edible, Pete.
It was very much like when Japan do those kind of like promotional Burger King Spider-Man meals where the bun is black and the fries are little webs. It's disgusting.
I love the old black buns over here. There's always a promotion once or twice a year from Burger King where the buns are black and covered in squid ink, and it's never ever tasted good.
No. Awful. Squid ink has quite a kind of potent flavour as well. You don't want that in your bread. You want it to be sweet and light and fluffy and delicious.
I'm not a fan, but the main takeaway from this introduction is don't let Pete cook dinner for you. I'm not sure who'd be worse
improvise.
In the kitchen out of you or I. Who would be worse in the kitchen?
It's clearly you, Chris, because all you eat is fried chicken. And have you ever fried your own chicken?
No, I pan fried it. Pan fry.
Right. Okay.
Stick it in the pan. Job done.
Yeah.
Pan fried
salad.
A lot
of tempura every now and again.
Delicious.
You cook tempura. Well, a good friend of mine, actually, who's a Japanese a boxer, champion, used to be one of the biggest boxing champions in Japan. He started a cooking channel 3 months ago called Champ's Japanese Kitchen. And I shouted him out a few times, but he's done a really good job with these videos. And he's gone from 0 to 100,000 subscribers in about 4 months, just off of 5 or 6 videos. Yeah, it's incredible.
Cool.
Like, I think he's just quite authentic. He speaks English really well with a sort of American accent, so he's easy to understand, really nice guy, very likeable. But if you're into Japanese cooking, I highly recommend checking him out, Champ's Japanese Kitchen. He teaches the recipes in a very nice, easy-to-understand way. And even I've watched a few of the videos and gone, oh, yeah, I could probably do that. Effort, though, isn't it? But I'll get on it.
What's your? Because you've obviously got quite a small Japanese apartment. What's the kitchen situation? Do you have much of a hob? Do you have much of an oven?
Well, I haven't got an oven, but I've got like a hob. Yeah, that's the thing, right? They don't really have like ovens in Japan, which is quite a strange thing coming from the UK, where every single dish is cooked in an oven or a microwave, preferably an oven. But I've never cooked anything in my kitchen. I've got the studio. The studio's actually got a hob in it, right? That's gas powered, but I didn't pay the gas bill, so there's no gas, and thus the hob is just for
Could
decoration.
You know, just sort of bring in some butane little butane canisters you get in 7-Eleven. I like. I was watching Tokidoki Traveller, who obviously works for Tokyo Creative. She was doing a little apartment tour, and I think recently she'd had a load of insects sort of join her in her new apartment. But she has an oven, and it's very Japanese because it just sings. Like, it just sings this little bit of music every time you open the door and do stuff, which is adorable.
What does it sing?
And also,
what does it sing?
Just like a silly little. It's just a bit much when you're just trying to cook some fish fingers.
Doesn't do a cover of The Doors or anything good.
No. Just, fire, doom, 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 you to burn. Something like that.
God. Oh, man. Well, Maybe I'll cook something in the studio. Maybe I'll get some gas sorted out. We'll see. Could be a broad in a pan. Finally realised. Although the kitchen in the studio is shockingly small and really unpleasant, and it's got a flickering light. It literally looks like a fucking Stephen King set piece, the kitchen in the studio. So I don't think I'm going to be filming in there anytime soon. But I've got to do a tour.
Get yourself a new light, mate. Get yourself a new light. Yeah, we need to. We want to see this bloody studio, for crying out loud. Have you got everything moved in yet? Is everything kind of in place?
I mean, kind of, but then the main bit of the studio isn't built yet, and that is the set where I'm going to do most of the videos. I think I've shown you some mock-ups of the set. So,
it looks
amazing. I've always wanted like a proper kind of film set to shoot in, and this studio is big enough to fit something good in. And so I'm getting like a ramen shop designed and built in there, as well as like a Blade Runner inspired cyberpunk-esque alleyway with lots of pipes and lots of grit. And it should be finished in about 4 to 5 weeks. And then after that, I'll do the studio tour. And it's going to be amazing if it turns out well. And I'm not building it, no.
How would they?
Because I can't sellotape a piece of paper together.
Where would you even? Oh, it sounds like you can't even replace a bloody light in your kitchen. Where would you even kind of find someone to like build a set? Like, is it in the telephone directory? How do you find these people?
I just went, you know, I walked down in front of Sendai Station, just started asking people if they could. But no, I've got a friend, and he knows people. I've got a friend of a friend, and he knows people. Knows people.
I see
in the industry. Yeah, but
jobs,
I mean,
for the boys.
It looks good.
Confusing.
Yeah, it's not going to be cheap, but you know, hopefully it'll last a good few years, and I can do like a weekly show from there and have fun with it. So yeah, it should be good. Should be good. Looking forward to it. We got a story this week from who is it? Matthew from Alberta, an exotic locale in West Canada. Hello, Drip King Chris and Baron of Clout, Pete. Baron of Clout. My name is Matthew, and I hail from the land of AAA beef and Nickelback, aka Alberta, Canada. My fiance and I had our first and currently only trip to Japan back in 2019 for a full month. I thought I would share our favourite story with you, and one that has inspired our next trip to Japan, accidentally climbing a mountain in Irashiyama in Kyoto. During one of our outings to Kyoto from the hostel, we based ourselves out of Osaka. We decided that we wanted to finish out our day with a trip to Arashiyama Bamboo Grove and have some dinner. So we fired up Google Maps machine, typed in Arashiyama Bamboo Grove and made for the train. We followed out the Google Maps street by street, never once questioning it, and this would prove to be our undoing and the start of a rather spontaneous adventure. The Arashiyama Bamboo Forest, you've been there, right, Pete? It's the sort of iconic, whenever you see Kyoto, it's like one of the three things that get shown. So these beautiful bamboo forests, right?
Yeah.
You know it. You see it.
Yeah. It's on the front of every single guidebook ever.
It is. It is. But it's good. It's a really nice place. After a good 45 minutes of walking, we arrived at a narrow path next to a small parking lot. At the entrance to the pathway was a small group of foreign tourists reading a sign that said in perfect English, "Google Maps is wrong. This is not the Monkey Park. Monkey Park is this way," along with a picture map of how to get to the Monkey Park, Pete's favourite place. Now, this should have been our first clue that something was amiss, but we ignored it and proceeded up the path. After all, we weren't looking for the Monkey Park, we were looking for the Bamboo Forest. After starting up a winding path that only seemed to get steeper and steeper, and a small bamboo forest that soon gave way to what I assume was a cedar forest, we continued on our way, seeing less and less bamboo. We had no idea where we were. Eventually, we came to a trail sign and a four-way split in the path, one path leading to a temple, one the way we came, and the other two leading to a loop with a very intriguing landmark, castle ruins. We decided that if we weren't going to see the bamboo forest, we should absolutely go and see these castle ruins. That leads us to begin on a three-hour trip of what would become our five-hour hike as we braved narrowing and crumbling paths, a dead end with rocks and climbing rope, and we had to scale to continue with forks in the road that no longer had English on them. Eventually, we stopped to hydrate, only to discover we were nearly out of water, had no food, and realised that the sun was going down quite quickly. After quickly weighing our options and deciding that no ruins are worth being stranded on a mountain in the dark, let alone in a country where we barely spoke the language, and not even being dressed or equipped for a hike in general, we turned around and went back the way we came, running into a photographer from a city next to ours back home, looking for of all things, the monkey park. We reached the bottom of the path, exhausted and thirsty, when an older Japanese man on a scooter saw us and our new photographer friend emerging from the path. In near-perfect, well-accented English, he said, "Oh my goodness, you poor folks must be starving." And he reached into his bag and produced three of the largest, reddest apples we've ever seen in our life. After we each took one and thanked him over and over, both in Japanese and English, he pointed us towards where we could find some good dinner and a station, and he was on his way. The apples were, without question, the most crisp and juicy apples I think I ever had, and they almost brought a tear to our eyes as we walked. This is a fucking ridiculous story. As we walked to the nearest vending machine we could find and loaded up water, we owe Braun Japan a great deal out of thanks for helping us prepare and plan a great deal of our trip. Thank you, guys. Sincerely, Matthew from Alberta. A story that didn't really have a point, but there was apples and he got lost. But what an adventure, Matthew. What an incredible story.
I mean, I very much like a trip that where they get completely lost. They don't really know where they are and they're starving. They lay sorely at the door of Braun Japan as inspiration. And also, we've learnt nothing from the Garden of Eden, have we? We've learnt nothing from Snow White. People just handing out apples left, right and centre. Well, yeah, I'll eat that. I'll just eat that man coming out of the bushes. Do you want to eat these apples? Yeah, cool. Get them down.
The poison apples.
Lovely.
Poison apples of Kyoto. It's kind of nice, though. I guess, I mean, 3-hour hike, that's quite considerable when you don't know where you're going. Yeah, at Ashiyama Bamboo Forest, there is no hike. It's just there. You don't even have to walk
there.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
It's just there by the station. Yeah. Man. But well done, Matthew. At least you got some exercise in. You got your 10,000 steps and you got a juicy apple. That's what I call a successful day trip. Oh, God. Ridiculous. I don't know if you've seen this week, Pete. My Twitter feed's been bombarded with a news story that isn't overly interesting, in fairness, but the photos are kind of cool. Japan's still rolling out the vaccine. It's doing a very good job. I think they've overtaken America this week, and now Japan is somewhere like 65% fully vaccinated.
Wow.
Don't hold me to account on that. Or I think 65% of the population has been vaccinated, but not fully vaccinated. Not sure. Need to read up on that. Either way, they're rolling out the vaccine. And there's a photo of a guy in a pachinko parlor playing pachinko while a nurse just shoves a needle in his arm and just injects him with the vaccine. If you click on the article and if you click on the link in the article, you can see the photo. It is a great photo. I don't really know why they're doing it though. Don't know what's going on. It looks like this guy is just not giving up playing pachinko and they're just injecting him with drugs to prolong his pachinko exploits. It's just kind of graphic and bizarre. Have you seen it?
I mean, I've seen it. I mean, have they just kind of opened up the pachinko parlours for vaccinations rather than just getting people while they're playing pachinko and they're distracted? I'm fairly certain this is an organised thing. They're not just running in, jabbing people in the arm while the cacophony that is the pachinko parlour sort of rumbles on. But it's a really good idea. I mean, like, you know, they have seats, they have space, they have... you know, the will. relatively clean, even though quite cigarette-y, I suppose. You probably don't want to get an injection when there's so much cigarette smoke around.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really nice idea, and it sounds like the vaccination rate has gone up and up over the past few, couple of months.
It is encouraging. I think the main takeaway is pachinko is addictive. I've still never really understood like why people enjoy pachinko. I guess it's just because there's not much to do in the countryside, right? I think Abroad Japan is the number one video on pachinko. Like, for those of you who don't know what it is, because I don't think I'd ever heard about it before I came to Japan, it's an arcade machine filled with ball bearings and they go round and round in circles. And then when you win them, you get like 150 ball bearings come out at once and you have this big bucket filled with ball bearings that you cash in for a ticket. But because you're not allowed to gamble in Japan, you have to trade the ticket at a separate building around the corner. And it's all rather bizarre. It's like a weird loophole. But you hand in the ticket and then you get your money there. But I guess it's just not much to do in the countryside. So people just enjoy doing it. Apparently Natsuki used to play it and he's actually quite good at it. I don't know how much luck and skill is required in pachinko, but he'd won a lot of money doing it before he gave up. Shoaib gave up if he'd won that match.
I mean, I imagine his particular career kind of ended with him losing a substantial amount of money, as most things like that do. I think with Pachinko, it's kind of... I mean, what I love about Natsuki doing it is that, like, he'll just have a crack at any vice. Drinking, smoking, gambling, he'll do a little bit of everything. But yes, it's all very confusing, and the halls are so ubiquitous. But if you know that a certain hall's going to be doing, you know, your vaccines, go in, play a couple of rounds of pachinko, and then get your jab. Lovely old job. And obviously it appeals to an older demographic as well, because they seem to be the ones who are playing pachinko.
Yeah, I'd say that's a fairly accurate generalisation. It is people that are slightly older. I think these days younger folks have got better things to do with their time. But what's astonishing is when I first moved to Japan, I was out in the middle of nowhere in Sakata. I'll be driving down the road and you see these massive buildings, casino-sized buildings, and you'd be like, what the heck's in there? And then you discover it's pachinko. And, you know, you go in and there are like 150, 200... I think 1,000 machines on average in many of these buildings. And it's just insanity. And it's so loud, it's so smoky, it's so full on. It is basically like torture going in a pachinko place the first time you go in. Like, you ever actually been in one? You ever gone in one? God forbid.
I've had a roll around. I've sat at the machine, just got confused about what the hell's going on, and then walked out again. There's kind of like a variant that you see in arcades every now and again, where they're, instead of little steel ball bearings, it's coins. Like a lot of little kind of, I think they call them medals. Similar sort of thing. You know, it spits out a lot of medals. It's not actually coins as we understand it, but little kind of tokens, I suppose. Similar sort of thing. You can't exchange those directly for money. You got to change them for a receipt, and then you go around the corner and get the cash. But yeah, similar sort of game. But they always seem a little bigger and a little bit more kind of like gravity based. They're like the two penny machines in arcades in Britain, really. So yeah, it's just so bloody loud and confusing, Chris. I wouldn't know where to start. Probably your video, to be honest.
Yeah, go check it out. That's indeed. That's the only place where it's worth seeing.
Maybe call
to
action.
Go and do it in person. Yeah, it's not much fun. We'll be back in a moment with the fax machine and your questions.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from, I ain't got a name, but they hail from the Philippines. I've been binging the podcast since early 2021. Do places in Japan look and feel different on videos than in real life? I feel in love with Japan through many channels, yours included, and I'm wondering if I just overrate it inside my mind and would be underwhelmed when I finally go there. Thanks to both of you, and good luck. Lovely person there. So sorry we've missed off your name in the concatenation collection of that email, but lovely to have you along, whoever you are and indeed were.
That's it, yeah. All we know is from they're from the Philippines, so thank
from
you.
From the Philippines.
But I mean, I well, looking at that hotel video I did with Connor the other day, which we've talked about a lot, some people said like, oh, it doesn't look that bad. And the trouble with video is you're only looking at something from like one, or actually two senses, right? Sound and vision. But I don't know, I've always felt like I've tried to do Japan justice on camera. Mount
justice
Fuji,
delicious.
Justice delicious. Mount Fuji never looks that good on camera. Whenever I shot it, I find Mount Fuji looks way more impressive in person than it ever does on camera. It just never looks right. What else? I mean, I some people call me out. I remember some guy, our Osaka video we did years ago, someone called me out for color grading it so it looked kind of like a cyberpunk-y look to
right,
it.
Yeah,
had like a blue tint to it. Mm. And, you know, he sort of said, oh, it doesn't look like that. It looks like this. But, you know, videos, you're supposed to have a bit of fun with it. I like colour grading, you know. it makes it look more interesting.
Oh, you made
exciting.
It all black and white, and it's not black and white in the real world. I'm fuming, absolutely fuming.
But look, no, for the most part, Japan does look as good as it is in the videos. Like, well, I think, you know, one of my favourite sequences I shot last year was the start, I think the opening minute or two of a video I made called Driving in Japan. And in that video, right. I had like a montage with the drone and rice fields and the sea. And I felt like I did the countryside Japan justice in that. Hmm. Like Japan is really beautiful when you go out into the countryside in the summer or the autumn. And yeah, I don't think you'll be disappointed when you get here. Don't worry. You're not going to get out and play and be like, mate. Oh no, it doesn't look that good. Narita Airport is far from fun. We got one here from Stefanos, who says, hey, Chris and Pete, I would like to share a surprising discovery that my girlfriend made recently while strolling around Yokohama. As she was browsing through the drink section in one of the stores looking for something refreshing, she came across, wait for it, a gyoza-flavoured soft drink. Oh, good God. My question to you is, what kind of bizarre foods and beverages have you come across during your stay in Japan? From Stephanus. And good God, the gyoza drink. Why does anyone think this is a good idea? A dumpling flavored fizzy pop.
Well, you kind of get this sort of thing in kind of America. And I've only ever seen it in kind of like tourist traps. You get like kind of ranch dressing flavoured soda, like bacon flavoured soda and stuff like that. And it's very silly. It doesn't really smell or taste like any of those things, but you're in a situation where it's just something silly to buy. But I'd love to have a crack at some lovely salty gyoza flavoured soda. Delicious.
I mean, I've seen it before. Like, I have seen it before, and I thought, no, like, even for a video, I don't think I'm willing to put myself through that.
Drink it. You are so scaredy. What a scaredy cat.
I'll send
drink
it to
everything,
you.
Eat everything, and die at 40. That is the plan.
I mean, I've. What's the worst thing I've eaten in Japan? Probably that bee larvae and the grasshoppers and the locust that they sell at Hanbei, the 1960s.
You were big on the on the internet sensation that was Tide Pod eating as well, weren't you? Big fan of that.
Why do people do that? Why do people eat Tide Pods, Pete?
Because they're delicious. I don't know.
Right.
Because it's delicious. I don't know. Disgusting.
You heard it here first. Mm. Bit of a Tide Pod. Wash it down with some gyoza-flavoured fizzy pop. It's a
lovely
solid Tuesday. It's a solid Tuesday.
Got a message from Cooper Gregory. Hello, CG. Salutations, Lord Chris and Sir Pete. Cooper from Arkansas here. How y'all doing? I have a question for you, gentlemen. If you could take three things from Japan to a deserted island, what would it be and why would it be coolish, Pete?
Yeah. Go on then. What would you take? What would you take? Is it going to be coolish?
There's these special kinds of little mini cupboards. I don't know why this product exists only in Japan because the houses are very small, but there's this tiny little cupboard that you can steam your clothes. You put a jacket in or a pair of trousers and it absolutely steams the flip out of them. And then I think you put it into, and there's two compartments, and then you sort of take the hanger with your suit or whatever, or your shirt, and you put it in the next one and it just gently kind of like wobbles the shirt. And suit it just gently wobbles whatever you put on the old coat hanger, and it's very therapeutic to watch. It's very strange to experience, but they're all over Yodobashi Camera or whatever, or Bit Camera or whatever. They seem to be very popular with the Japanese. They love a little cupboard that you can steam your clothes in, and it does a little shaky shake on it afterwards. Shake all.
So you're going to take that to a desert island with no electricity.
Look your best. It'll be solar powered. It'll be solar powered, I'm afraid. Yeah.
What about the other two items?
I don't know. Like a really bad, like really heavy PC engine video game system / computer that runs nothing. All the games are absolute trash. It runs nothing and it's the worst. I want that. I want to be miserable on that desert island. And also that horrible racist book that the man from who owns that hotel chain, the Apple Hotels. I want to take
Apple
that.
Hotels.
I want to find out. I don't want to find out what he's all about.
Love that book. The Real History of Japan. Cracking book. If you go to Upper Hotel, you can read the book, The Real History of Japan. I think I went there last year. I couldn't find it. I was really disappointed.
Oh,
I love having a read
maybe
that.
Maybe it's become unpalatable. Maybe the shareholders sort of went, you know what, mate? Maybe take your weird muggy little book out of the hotel rooms and the share price might go up.
I love that book. I think you should just read that out in a YouTube video. That'd be cracking.
Yeah. To be honest, a lot of right-wing vloggers, that's very much, I mean, it would be, the differences would be imperceptible compared to the kind of shit that they sprout.
What a book. I would take a samurai sword to protect myself, some rice seeds to grow and eat, and then I'd probably just take Natsuki to tend to the rice and just wield the sword.
Yeah.
And
beautiful.
I love. I think you've got the better selection, though. There's no doubt about that.
Okie dokie.
I do quite want the. The first time I saw the shirt device, I don't even know what it's called. The magic shirt wardrobe. I saw it at a robot the robot hotel. Remember the robot hotel? One that just opened up in Sendai.
Yes.
Everything's automated. Everything works. Except it doesn't, and they got rid of lots of the robots and had to actually bring in staff in the end because they realised having robot velociraptors isn't a great business plan when they break.
No.
God, I need to go. I was really generous. I went and did a video there, and I was really generous because they let me film, and I hid the fact that like half the stuff just wasn't working. I regret that now.
Maybe they're fixed now.
I'm a liar.
Maybe it's fine.
Maybe they're fixed. To be fair, it was like they just opened.
Big liar.
I don't know. Yeah. If you've been to the Robot Hotel, let us know what it was like. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into BronJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in the next few days to do it all over again, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. And we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row?
Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.